Now, the epistle to be read for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. At last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Words taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you about a battle and a letter. The battle was the Battle of the Somme, which took place in France from July to November 1916 during World War I. The Battle of the Somme was a British and French offensive against the deeply entrenched German armies along the Somme River. The letter was a personal letter written by the Irish Catholic priest and British war chaplain, Father William Doyle. The Battle of the Somme is considered the most bitter and costly battles of World War I. Listen to how one military historian described it. It was World War I's most infamous battle, a prolonged engagement lasting for nearly 5 months that claimed over 1.1 million lives, with over 60,000 British soldiers falling on the first day. Over 1.7 million shells were fired by the British and French over 7 consecutive days before their infantries advanced. But the Germans retreated to a deep dugout and popped up when the bombing ceased, ready and able to repel any Allied advance. When the Battle of the Somme finally ended in November, the Allies claimed great victory. They had gained a strip of wasteland 30 miles wide, 7 miles deep, but at the cost of more than 500,000 lives. But on one September day in 1916, while the battles were raging on the various front lines of the River Somme, Father William Doyle offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass on a particular battlefield. Here is what he wrote of it in a personal letter to his father in Ireland. By cutting a piece out of the side of the trench, I was just able to stand in front of my tiny altar, a biscuit box supported on two German bayonets. God's angels, no doubt, hovering overhead, but so were the shells, hundreds of them. And I was a little afraid that when the earth shook with the crash of the guns, the chalice might be overturned. Round about me on every side was the biggest congregation I ever had. They were behind the altar, on either side, and in front, row after row after row. Sometimes they were crowding upon each other, but all were quiet and silent, as if they were straining their ears to catch every syllable of that tremendous act of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But of course, every man there was dead. Some had lain there for over a week, and they were foul and horrible to look at, with faces black and green. Others had only fallen and seemed rather sleeping than dead. But there they lay, for none had time to bury them. Brave fellows, every one, friend and foe alike. While I held in my unworthy hands their Creator and their Judge, I prayed that God give rest to their souls. Surely, Father Doyle concluded, that Mass for the dead, in the midst of and surrounded by only the dead, was an experience not so easily forgotten. Now, in today's epistle, St. Paul proclaims to the Corinthians the resurrection of Christ and offers eyewitness accounts of those who saw the risen Savior, such as the apostles, as proofs that our Lord had indeed risen from the dead. St. Paul preached the glorious resurrection of Christ to the Corinthians because if Christ were not risen, then he was an impostor and not the Son of God and only Savior of the world. And their sins were not forgiven. And therefore their faith was in vain. That is to say, it was worthless. As one priest put it, if Christ is not risen, then those that died believing in him and hoping for the forgiveness of their sins through his redeeming merits have died with their sins still upon them, and they are lost forever. But St. Paul declared, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Thus does St. Paul teach in no uncertain terms that our Lord Jesus Christ truly died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead on the third day. The divinely revealed truth, my dear friends, of the resurrection of Christ is a truth which some theologians call the foundation and the keystone of the whole belief of Christianity and Catholicism. But after St. Paul wrote about the truth of the resurrection of Christ and its foundation for our faith, he then wrote in this same epistle and same chapter 15 about the resurrection of the bodies of men at the end of the world, and how the resurrection of Christ is a pledge of our own bodily resurrection. For at the end of the world, my dear friends, our souls will be rejoined to our bodies, which will be raised up from the dead. But whether we will rise in glory and joy like to Christ, or in shame and sorrow, is not determined at the moment of the resurrection of the body, but rather now. That is to say, it is determined how we live our lives now, here, in this world. And did we then, or did we not, die in the state of sanctifying grace? To ensure that one dies in the state of grace, one must strive now to continually live in the state of grace. Father William Doyle was a brave and holy priest. For the love of Christ and the salvation of souls, he volunteered to be a chaplain on the front line so that he could save for heaven the souls of as many soldiers as he could, even as he would offer to many of them as much consolation before battle as is possible in the midst of what really was a hell on earth. And even in death, he would not abandon them. How in the midst of an active battlefield in a trench, he offered a requiem mass of the dead for the thousands upon thousands of souls whose bodies were still lying in the very place where they had fallen. While I held in my unworthy hands their Creator and their Judge, he wrote, I prayed that God give rest to their souls. Father Doyle, a priest and a true Christian, knew that all those men who had died on that battlefield were already judged by Christ in the very place where they had fallen. And that one day, all those bodies which lay around him would be raised up and rejoined to their souls to share in the joy, happiness, and peace of heaven, or, God forbid, the sorrow, the pain, and the everlasting tortures of hell. But how undistracted he was on that battlefield by the shells going off all around him as he earnestly prayed for them during his Mass. On the battlefield of life, my dear people, how often we can become so distracted from our purpose here in life and our last and final end. Our purpose in life is to know, love, and serve God according to one's own state in life, whether we are priests or religious, married or single. We must all accordingly know, love, and serve God. That is, believe His truths, keep His commandments, receive His sacraments, and practice those Christ-like virtues of patience, charity, kindness, forgiveness from our hearts, while our last end is to leave this world to be happy with God forever in heaven. That is our purpose in life. That is our final end. But how often we can be so caught up in the things of the world, so caught up in all the cares and worries, or all the material things and pleasures of life, that we get distracted of our final end and where we are supposed to be going. How many people today are so distracted from their end? And how the new church has so twisted this that many of those who call themselves Catholics do not know why they are here and do not know where they are going. May we then be ever mindful of why we are here in this world and where we are going. May we then ever have a great care to live our lives accordingly and in the state of sanctifying grace, ever mindful that one day we shall forever leave this world with all its pleasures and all its material things, as well as all its pains, worries, cares, and hardships. And finally, my dear friends, as we celebrate the great feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary tomorrow, let us always, as we pray in the Mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let us always confidently approach our most loving Mother, who is indeed the throne of grace, where we can and will obtain mercy and find grace for a timely help. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.